Bald and blonde. Welcome to the Mindset Evolution podcast. Hear about tips, tricks, skills, tools, inspiration, mental hygiene. Know what you want and how to create what you desire to achieve predictable results and create a content life wherever you are. And here are your hosts, Kathy Tate and Daisy Papp.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution. I'm Kathy Tate, the Bald Warrior, your host from Australia. With me, as always, is your host from the Florida Keys, Daisy Papp. Hi, Daisy.
Hello, my dear friend. So good to see you. And I wonder, although you're not wearing sleeves today, but I do know for sure that you do have something up your sleeves. And that will be the topic for today. So bring it on, baby.
Yes, Daisy, of course, I have a super interesting topic today. We are going to talk about conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
It's a really interesting subject, and I think it happens to all of us. Even without anybody meaning to, it happens. So let's talk about first what conditioning is, how it can affect us, and then perhaps we could talk about undoing some of the less desirable conditioning. What do you think? Yeah?
I like that a lot. Interesting, on my Skype, it shows on my profile, uncondition yourself.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. So that's the jump forward. Okay, let's speak about conditioning. What is your thought on conditioning? What do you think it is, and how would you define it?
Well, my thoughts that within a society and then a smaller unit of the family, there are social norms and rules created by that society of what's, and I'm doing the inverted commas, guys, and wrong behavior or standards within those groups of people, those cultures. And I think that as we grow up within them, the conditioning is what happens when we're taught this set of norms that belong to those societies or those smaller family groups, because their belief systems within those cultures or within those groups. And so being taught those belief systems is being conditioned. Does that make sense?
Yes. And how does it impact you?
Well, I can give a real life example if you like.
Bring it on.
Because I was hugely, hugely impacted by the social norms around body image. Now, most of you know out there, guys, maybe you don't, if you're new to us, welcome. I've had alopecia, which is hair loss, since I was quite a young girl. And of course, there are many social norms around hair and female beauty. And I was on the wrong side of it, I guess, not having hair that acted like everybody else's. And so we were conditioned within our culture to connect beauty to hair in a female. And that was a conditioning in our society. So when my hair started falling out, not only was there an internal impact around what is happening to me, there was also an external impact because I got bullied for being different and not fitting the social norm anymore. That was conditioning on those children and on me. Mm-hmm. Because if there was different conditioning, they might not have teased me. They might have been supportive. They might not have cared that my hair made me look different had there been no social norm around hair. If it had been normal for everybody to have no hair, it would not have mattered at any point. But because it wasn't, inverted commas again, folks, normal, there was then a whole lot of other things that happened because I no longer fit this social norm. So that's my real life example of what conditioning means to me.
I find it interesting how close to you are social norms and conditioning.
Well, that's been my experience. And it took me a while to figure out that for myself, like I didn't really get it while I was in it as a kid. I only understand it looking back as a personal developer.
Well, I believe when we go to social norms and conditioning combined, I'd like to bring up something that maybe all our listeners can relate to a degree. And that is how we celebrate life while we live it and how we mourn life when it's over. There are specific cultures that celebrate life after it's over. And there are different groups of cultures that mourn when the life is over. Those growing up in these cultures are conditioned to either celebrate or mourn. I grew up in a society where mourning was really expected from every single family member and their acquaintances and close family members or close friends, because that showed compassion and belonging. So I suffered. Now everyone who pretended or truly loved me mourned with me. I was conditioned to that.
Yeah.
Then I know of other cultures where when somebody is leaving the physical world, transitioning from being alive into being not alive, based on our understanding of being alive and dead, they celebrate the life the human had. And they celebrate the friendship or relation that they enjoyed, and they celebrate the gifts that this relation or relationship brought to them. The moment we are born, we're destined to die. That's fact. And I like to relate to the non-traditional and non-religious, but scientifically backed formula, the 5+2, because it helps us to relate to a set of morals that we can make easily our standard by practicing them, and therefore revealing those who do not live by those standards. And then therefore, the conditioning turns into unconditioning, because it is almost a mental reset, because we go back to what truly matters, so I humbly believe, which is how do we behave? And no matter what conditioning I suffered or endured or volunteered for, because some of us even volunteer for sort of conditioning when we develop further and then we believe in a cause and then we condition ourselves towards that to fit in there or to behave in certain ways that then will fit to those specific standards of specific groups. So then it can become a habit and a pattern, and it's rather automatic. But when we go to the roots, because I humbly believe none of us can avoid conditioning, it's impossible. And then there are companies out there that are using that against us, and then there are a few that use it for us.
As in take advantage of our conditioning, you mean? For sure.
And then they like to reinforce it. I give a very simple example. I'm looking for green socks online, and all of a sudden I am offered green socks wherever I go online, almost, unless I'm using a safe browser that is not collecting too much data. So then it reinforces our conditioning. But when I accept that I'm conditioned and I want to just circumvent and increase the moral standards, then the conditioning no longer has such a great impact on me, I humbly believe. Because, okay, green socks, let's stick with that really simplistic example. When I know that I don't have the budget to buy green socks, then I will stick with the knowledge that I don't have the budget for buying green socks. Therefore, I will stick with the reality of my budget that's currently in place, which may change because it can change overnight, sometimes with a blink of an eye. But I will treat my conditioning and handle my conditioning in a different way. That requires, I humbly believe, openness of my mind, being open-minded. So wherever I go and I realize that someone is truly conditioned to green socks, because that's all they use, that's all they eat, that's all they drink, and that's all that's good because nothing else is acceptable, societal norms,
then I will be able to rethink and uncondition myself by accepting other people's conditioning, see it for what it is, respecting their choices or their choice of unawareness or their level of awareness that they are conditioned to a degree. And I can take care of my own conditioning, for example, that I must judge others because they're stupid to like green socks. They're blinded to buy green socks. They're conditioned. They are living based on social norms that green socks are the only one good thing in this world. Mm-hmm. And then I can reset myself and allow the unconditioning to take place step by step.
I think there's an important point we need to bring up here for our audience's understanding, because I know it was important when I learned this, and that is the state of cognitive dissonance. To explain that, you might be able to explain it better than me, but my understanding is that we have a core belief system, let's say, around green socks, because that's the example we're using. And then someone disputes completely that green socks should even be worn. Let's say that somebody comes along and says, no, green socks will kill you.
That's dramatic.
Not that socks can kill you, but we're using an extreme example to make the point. And then cognitive dissonance would come up in somebody because you have such a core belief around green socks being good for you. Somebody saying the absolute opposite just doesn't fit. And we reject it, and then we start finding reasons that green socks are okay to justify wanting to keep them, because that's our conditioning, correct?
That's the coping skill those who believe in green socks will use to justify. Those who do not like green socks will find other reasons to justify why green socks are bad. Mm. Now, I've been conditioned in many ways, and I'm still in the process of unconditioning myself. And I like to differentiate nowadays between my likes and dislikes and the conditioning and the level of unconditioning I went through voluntarily. And I remember a simple example, which may sound really absurd to many of our listeners out there, and maybe also to you, dear Kathy, that in my family, by the age of 16, we needed to have completed ballroom classes in dancing. There was no one to question it because it was always done that way. There was no one who dared questioning it. And because I knew growing up, having an older brother at that time, 7 years older, and I remember him going through the process of learning ballroom dances, and he rather enjoyed or didn't enjoy. It is quite weird for a young teenage boy to then learn something to do with their feet and arms and their back and their spine and their expression, facial expression and body language expression. That is very unusual to them because they really did not use that. And he endured that because he knew that was required and that was requested of him being an honored member of that society he grew up within. And because I saw him enduring that, for me, it was no question that I knew that by turning 16, I will have completed ballroom dances and the classes. And I really held on to that. And when my son turned 15, I knew what was my job to do, to inform him about the ballroom dance classes. And he said, Mom, but I have two left legs and I don't want to dance. Well, that didn't really ring a bell and it didn't reach my ears. Acoustically, it did, but I didn't hear what he tried to mention to me. And it was quite a learning process for me to then question something that I was conditioned to reevaluate and uncondition myself. Because is it really true that someone is only a good human when they complete ballroom class dances by the age of 16? Is that really true?
Well, of course not. But I'm sure that the practice or the tradition came from an older century where ballroom dancing was a thing that you learned because that was part of how you socialized, especially in Europe. Certainly never been a thing in Australia, just saying. But Australia is nowhere near as old as Europe. Yeah. And all you have to do is watch a historical movie and you can see how important that was in the social scene. So I can understand where the tradition comes from. It's probably not really that useful now because it's not used in the same way. But I can see how your traditions within your family made that a thing where you were taught that at a certain age so you were ready for society.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. So you see now in different cultures, there are different values and we are conditioned to those based on the society or not society, but the culture and the environment we grew up in. And we all grew up in and within a specific society and culture. It imprints us and it has a big impact on us, even when it doesn't make sense after re-evaluation and after having a closer look to it. Now, to the conditioning also comes one more little thing that has a great impact as well, the need to be right. And I believe that is why so many humans hold on to the conditioning they are conditioned to, because their need to be right, which is stemming from childhood, where that was a survival skill, but we are not there anymore in our age, in our development. Let's outgrow that. I wish I can inspire every single one of us, me included, to let go of the need to be right. Because let's face it, no human on this planet is smart enough to be always right, and no one of us is stupid enough to be always wrong. Conditioning goes down to a very simplistic metaphor as well, and I like to use that. Pasta. How do you eat your spaghetti? Do you eat your spaghetti by cutting it with a fork and a knife? Italian ears are going to be extremely upset now because don't do it.
I'm horrified. And I'm not Italian.
Then there are others who use a spoon and put some spaghetti on the fork and then they twist it using the spoon and then eating it off the fork. Then there are others who, after twisting the spaghetti with the fork using a spoon, putting all the spaghetti that is already nicely placed onto the spoon, and then they eat it that way. And then there are the Italians who twist it using the plate. So now tell me, which is right and which is wrong? It is food, and who is conditioned to a degree? That's why I like to bring up simplistic everyday examples we can all relate to, or most of us can relate to. I've been in India many years ago, and it was extremely interesting for me, who was very much used to be conditioned to silverware. And I ordered some food from the room service and there was no silverware, meaning they eat with one hand, only one hand, because the other one they use for something else. Now, is it right or wrong? Or is it rather great to use these skills and have that behavioral pattern in specific areas in the world? It is not about right or wrong. And that, I believe, is where it's becoming so important to let go of the need to be right.
I think that is a huge one. And then I think another thing is to be aware of the language we use. We actually did an episode around words matter. And I think that often part of our conditioning is the language that we use. And I bring it up in the context that we are often conditioned to believe certain things, like everyone should use silverware or green socks are better than red socks.
I know of people that attend at specific congregations, and those are conditioned in a very different way than others who are used to attend to a different congregation.
Congregation is a word we'd use as a religious audience. Yep. Okay.
Yes, a sort of church or a faith group where they practice their beliefs religiously or spiritually. And interestingly, And there were fights in this world before that one thought the wrong thing and one believed the other thing. And then they fought one another instead of conditioning themselves to accepting others. Now, let's make one thing very clear. I've received an email from a scientist who read the island model Homo sapiens isolatus. I'm uncertain if you read it. And he was asking me, okay, acceptance and tolerance, but there are things in this world that are wrong. And if we only applaud acceptance and tolerance, then where is this going to lead? And I admit that maybe as a foreword in the book, it is important to add that this is only relevant when we agree to a specific level of integrity, which includes education. Gravity is wonderful, but gravity can hurt you. These are facts. Gravity is useful because I'm not levitating, where I cannot coordinate where I'm going. But gravity is hurtful when I'm falling, let's say, off the ladder. But gravity itself is. Now, when I educate humans that gravity is, and that is what it's good for, and that is where we want to respect it. So the conditioning of us in specific cultures, when we look at integrity, when I grew up, which was not the case, but let's say if I had grown up with parents who consistently lie, I would be conditioned to that standard. I would be conditioned how to do it. I would have learned how to do it and how to get away with it. When I grow up in a relatively honest environment, then I'm rather conditioned to that, because the moment all children have that period where they test out lying, I would be called out. Now, when we look at congregations, how they are conditioned to believe certain things or to not believe certain things, they're totally conditioned and they're very set in their thinking and in their behavior, what to do and what not to do, because one is evil and one is great. When you grow up where, let's say, your dad or your mom was a great chef, and on Sundays they prepared a meal and it took hours and it was lovely, then that conditioning is not only the fact that they were cooking and they prepared a meal over hours, but also the emotional connection to what that behavior of your parents conditioned you to. That is when then sometimes, based on our conditioning, we feel attracted to specific things without us knowing why. And we may feel drawn to without knowing why, because we are conditioned to something without us actually volunteering to. But emotionally, it will draw us towards that as adults.
Yeah. So with that in mind, some of our conditioning does not help us. How do we undo it?
Again, I do believe it starts with awareness. That's one.
Yeah.
That I recognize that I am conditioned. Step two, I believe, is essential to people from all walks of life to understand the necessity to look at their values and standards. And once they take an inventory of their values and standards and reorganize that and truly have a look, okay, so this is my standard. For example, I'm lying every day. That's my standard. But is that really a value that I appreciate in others and that I appreciate in this world and in my life experience? And if not, then I'm archiving it or I'm recycling it or I just throw it overboard. And then the good news is that I can condition myself to great standards and I can condition myself to new values. I can condition myself to things that are supporting me in my goals or in my vision. Look, sometimes after my 5 a.m. going to bed time, because there was so much still to be done and I get it done, because if not me, then who? And if not now, then when? I'm not in the mood to get up at 8 or 9 a.m. after 3 or 4 hours of sleep. But I conditioned myself that the goal, my vision, my mission is so much greater that my sleep deprivation does not matter. At that time, I catch up with sleep later. The best I can.
Yeah.
So I reconditioned myself by putting a goal or by putting a vision or by putting my passion above my need, my physical need. Conditioning, I humbly believe, when I want to achieve great goals, then the goal must be greater than I am and must be greater than all the conditioning I've voluntarily or not voluntarily endured or volunteered to. Because then the conditioning can just dissipate. Let's say you invite me for a walk every morning, and I so much enjoy the conversations we are having while we're walking, or maybe just the company while I'm walking with you. Then my conditioning of staying in bed, making a coffee, then going to the bathroom, brushing my hair, brushing my teeth, wash my body, get dressed, that conditioning becomes less important. Why? Because my emotions that I'm experiencing and my feelings, emotions, energy in motion, while I'm walking with you will be so much more attractive. So it will be easy to let go of my conditioning of my daily routine.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is that we can change our conditioning, one, by having awareness, two, by then looking at our values and our standards, and then three, by choosing to condition ourselves to new values that we choose for ourselves. And I think where those values are important enough to us, we will do that.
Yes. And I believe what also can be an inspiration, surrounding ourselves with humans who have a different conditioning or who already unconditioned themselves. For example, judgment. Mm. We are all conditioned. Let me rephrase this. Most humans that I came across were conditioned to judgment. Few unconditioned themselves of judgment. For example, I see you writing notes as we speak, and you weren't born with taking notes when someone speaks. You must have found value in taking notes while someone speaks to you. You can condition yourself to listen and keep it in mind and then take notes, or you can condition yourself to take notes while you still keep eye contact. And I can show you my unconditioning that I'm not judging the way you take notes or you don't take notes. You see how complex that is?
I know. We're just talking about taking notes.
Now, we are also conditioned to think a certain way. And it's not only related to good or bad. This is a good way to think. This is a bad way to think. When we allow humans, again, to make their own experiences so they can then learn what is good for them, then we will be tempted not as often to judge them and showing them our disagreement, sharing with them, but this is the way to do it. When we allow humans again to experience for themselves, this works for me, it may not work for you, but I respect that it works for you, but it doesn't work for me. That is also a sort of unconditioning. But it comes along with respecting one another. It comes along with what is underneath respecting one another. Because underneath respecting one another comes my standards and values. Why do I respect that you're looking at me while I'm talking to you? I appreciate it because I was conditioned. I know of one man I had lengthy conversations with for years, and he had difficulty focusing while he was looking in someone else's eyes. I was conditioned to believe that this was impolite. I asked him one day, I wonder, is there a reason that when you're talking to me that you are looking away? And his simple, sincere answer was, I can focus better when I look elsewhere because then my thoughts are not distracted by looking at you. So I unconditioned myself from the belief or the conditioning that it is impolite when someone doesn't look at you in your eyes when they're talking to you. So because I understood, I was able to uncondition myself. Ever since, when I meet humans I speak to, and then they're looking around in the room, and I'm not even talking about the eye movements and EMDR and the NLP, where the eye goes and so forth. I'm not even going there. But it became so much easier for me to meet humans outside of my professional work and accepting they're looking around and still talking to me without giving meaning to it based on my primary conditioning.
Yeah, I think that explains it really well, actually. And I think that the respect for one another is a really important piece of this puzzle, because I think perhaps the more we can respect each other, the more we can let go of this need to be right, because that makes things very one-sided, the need to be right. And our egos get in the way. Let's admit that we've all struggled with ego at some point in our lives. And I think if we can step back out of that and be more compassionate as human beings, then we would have a whole lot less judgment, and it might be a whole lot easier to recondition ourselves to our better values.
I think now you pointed it out. It is easier to respect one another when there are specific values in place that are the minimal standard.
Yes.
And again, I'm not referring to religion, but again, if all of us, as of in 2 minutes from now, let's count backwards, by seconds, 120, 119, 118, 117, 116, 115, and back to zero. And as we reach zero, we would all start behaving based on the Ten Commandments. And I'm not saying this in a religious way, but it's such a great moral guideline, a GPS. And then it becomes easier for me to respect you, whatever you do, when I know that you will behave in certain ways where the minimal standard is met, and you will not behave outside of that minimal standard. When we can recondition ourselves, uncondition ourselves from doing what we want, whenever we want, however we want it, because I have the right to do that. And yes, you do. But there are consequences. And when society and members of the human family increase their standards, then we will have many humans who will find that so incredibly attractive that they will increase their standards as well, because they will understand and experience how joyful it is to meet humans with elevated standards and values.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. Yes, in no way are we trying to direct you to the Ten Commandments. It's just a really great example. And I think that most religions have their own thing that relates to that. But we also have our own thing too, Daisy, which you in your modesty forget to point out. But the formula for finding true love, Daisy's book, does actually contain a set of guiding principles, I like to call them, which you could also say ethical standards. And I believe that they are great standards to live by, and they do actually line up with my early conditioning around those standards that I'm very grateful my mother taught me. Wherever you find your guiding principles is great. Just choose strong, healthy, and good principles. Let's all bring out the best in ourselves and be our best versions. That's what I want to see. We're capable of so much, but when we are our best versions, then I think something really special will come out the other side as humanity. And that's what I want to see. And that's part of what drives me to keep doing this podcast. For you guys out there.
I agree, and I'm with you on board. I believe it is a great idea to take an inventory. Again, I mentioned that frequently, of what are your values and what is your conditioning. I give you another very private example. When was it? Probably 30 years ago. I had a lady friend. She was older, and she was a very nice lady and very sweet and very loving. And we went out to coffee shops and we enjoyed our tea or coffee. And what she would do, she would drink her coffee, although she was right-handed, with her left hand, and she would sip out of the cup as close to the handle as possible. And I wondered why she would do that. And she said, well, the least humans will have contact to the cup on that particular place and spot of the cup, that made so much sense to me that ever since I'm drinking when I'm outside of the house, not my own cups, holding my cup with my left hand and sipping exactly the closest I can with my lips where the handle is, because there are less left-handed humans, and most left-handed humans nevertheless would probably drink where their lips are touching the cup, not as close to the handle.
Is there an underlying assumption that the cup is dirty here?
Good point. But interestingly, that was a conscious conditioning because it made sense to me. And ever since, I do that, not knowing. And sometimes when I go and meet humans for business meetings and I'm having an espresso or I'm having a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, then I'm drinking here and I'm drinking close to the handle, holding my cup with the left hand. And then I'm asked, so why are you holding the cup like that? And then I share the story. That was conscious conditioning. Can I uncondition myself? Yeah, with a blink of an eye. Mm. But I know where it comes from. Mm. And I was able to let my son off the hook to not be forced to attend ballroom dance classes when I realized, oh, I was conditioned and my mom was conditioned and my grandmother was conditioned and whomever else in my line of ancestors was conditioned, and it was just handed down the generations. So the inventory is so important. What am I conditioned to? And what are my thinking patterns? For example, green dogs are bad or blue cats are wonderful. Or drinking this is great and drinking that is awful. So take an inventory what your conditioning is. And we can only do that when we define what conditioning is and then acknowledge it, realize it, recognize it within ourselves. And then we can take an inventory. Until I don't know what's in my closet, I'm not going to know how to clean it out. Agreed?
Well, let's say shoebox. Yes.
Okay, shoebox. I understand.
Yes. Well, it is one of our known analogies, and we urge you to listen to that episode too. It's brilliant. Okay, well, it's actually been a super extended bonus time episode today talking about conditioning, and we hope it helps you understand where it comes from, why it affects us, why pretty much nobody can avoid it, but also how we can turn it around and recondition ourselves once we've had a look at what's important to us. So I think it's been a really great conversation. Thank you, Daisy. Any final words before we say goodbye?
Once we accept the fact that we are all conditioned to a degree, it will be easier to see that others are also conditioned. And then we can make decisions for ourselves that I, for me, want to uncondition myself, and I allow others to be conditioned as much as they want, and I can live and lead by example instead of trying to change them.
Beautiful. Well said. That's it from us today. We hope you've enjoyed this conversation. Please share our podcast with your family and friends. And please, if you would like to support us, go to our website, baldandblonde.live. Buy us a cup of coffee. We'd really appreciate your support. And a huge thank you to all of our current supporters. We very much appreciate you. And if you would like to see our videos and join us for live interactions, please come over to the Wild Network. The link is down below in the description. We'd love to see you there and meet you. That's it from us today. I'm Kathy Tate, the Bald Warrior. I'm with Daisy Papp from Florida Keys, and we are Bald and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. See you next time. Thank you for tuning in to the Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. If you love what you're hearing, please subscribe to our podcast. In our show notes, you find the link to our Facebook group where you can personally connect with Daisy and Kathy, and the link to our website where you can find all of our previous episodes and much more of goodies so you can get more value. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. That really helps out the show and helps us to get some powerful feedback from you. Talk to you soon.